News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. A delegation of Trinamool Congress MPs on Tuesday met families of farmers killed in the Lakhimpur violence in Uttar Pradesh, claiming that they dodged policemen by posing as tourists. The TMC delegation comprised MPs Kakoli Ghosh Dastidar, Sushmita Dev, Abir Ranjan Biswas, Pratima Mondal and Dola Sen. While on their way, the UP police tried to stop them, the TMC leaders claimed in a statement. They posed as tourists on being stopped by police, claimed the MPs of the Mamata Banerjee-led party. Dola Sen said they were trying to reach Lakhimpur Kheri since Sunday and they could reach there 2 days later. Dastidar and Dev went to Palia Tehsil of the district to meet the kin of Lovepreet Singh, 19, while others travelled to Dhorara Tehsil to meet relatives of Nachatar Singh. Both were cremated during the day at their native places. Rajya Sabha MP Sushmita Dev, who recently switched over to the TMC from the Congress, said, "Heartbreaking to meet the family of the young farmer who was crushed to death in Lakhimpur Kheri." AITC chairperson Mamata Banerjee stands with the farmers to repeal the black laws and stop these brutal injustices. She fought in Shingur and assured to continue fighting for farmers of India, the MP added. Lok Sabha MP Kakoli Ghosh Dastidar said, "The accused is a son of a politician, but he has killed someone and he must be penalized. India is a democratic country, but democracy is missing for the last few years. The BJP is ruling like an autocratic government. They are putting everyone behind the bars except the accused and killing whosoever they want. PM Modi is in Lucknow. Why didn't he visit Lakhimpur Kheri?" Dastidar said. Coal stocks at thermal power plants will start increasing in another 2 to 3 days, according to an official in the coal ministry. The remarks come at a time when the country's power plants are grappling with coal shortage. "The situation has started improving from yesterday. In the next 2 to 3 days, coal stocks will stop depleting at the power plants and will start going up," the official said, on the condition of anonymity. A Coal India official also said the company is making efforts to ramp up its supply to power sector with 1.5 million ton per day in another few days from the present 1.4 million ton. Coal India Limited accounts for over 80% of domestic coal output. He further said power plants did not pick up coal from CIL from October last year till February this year. Power plants used their coal stocks and did not replenish them. They even did not adhere to the CEA guidelines of stocking the coal for 22 days. With rise in power demand, the demand for fuel also went up, he said. When things went beyond their control, they started putting the blame on Coal India, he added. Coal India, the official said, is trying to match up the requirement of power plants, but it is taking time, he said. On Monday, CIL Director Marketing S.N. Tiwari had said the company is responsive to the importance of improving coal stocks at thermal power stations. We are rallying our efforts to restore normalcy as early as possible by pushing additional quantities. The demand is far outstripping the supplies now. In fact, during the first half of this financial year, CIL's supply to the power sector at nearly 246 million ton was the highest ever for this period, and the demand from the sector was even higher as an outcome of a sudden spike in coal-based generation to unprecedented levels. There was an additional supply burden of around 10 to 12 metric tons on CIL to cater to domestic coal-based plants due to curtailment of power generation by plants which source their coal from overseas, where the prices have skyrocketed and holding firm. Generally, CIL builds up coal inventories at power utilities during the first quarter, but the pandemic posed a hindrance to this and extra stocking was not possible. Compounding the woes, extended monsoon at coalfield areas interrupted production and supplies. Primarily, what precipitated the situation was the unforeseen escalation in the power generation from the second week of August and the insatiable appetite for coal, CIL had said. Reasons aside, the company is fully seized of the imperative need to meet the power sector's demand. With the monsoon on the wane, increased production and availability of more coal will help us stabilize stocks at power plants, the company had said. Ahead of the festive season, coal supply crisis seems to be deepening as 64 non-pithead power plants are left with less than 4 days of the dry fuel stocks, according to a report. The latest report on coal stocks for power plants from the Central Electricity Authority, or CEA, also showed that 25 such power plants had coal stocks for less than 7 days as on October 3. As many as 64 non-pithead thermal power plants had less than 4 days of stocks of the dry fuel. The Narcotics Control Bureau, or NCB, probing the seizure of banned drugs from a cruise ship off the Mumbai coast on Tuesday, told a Mumbai court that the matter has become like the novels of Agatha Christie and Sherlock Holmes, with new twists and turns every moment. The NCB has so far arrested 16 people, including Bollywood superstar Shah Rukh Khan's son Aryan Khan, 23, in the drug seizure case. Earlier on Tuesday, Additional Chief Metropolitan Magistrate R.M. Nirlikar remanded Abdul Qadir Sheikh, 30, Shreyas Nair, 23, Manish Rajgaria, 26, and Avin Sahu, 30, to the NCB custody till October 11. The court on Monday remanded Aryan Khan and 7 others to the NCB custody till Thursday. Before making his submissions for the remand of the 4 accused, Special Public Prosecutor Advait Setna on Tuesday told the court that this case has become like Agatha Christie and Sherlock Holmes novels, as there is a new twist and turn at every moment. Remanding the 4 in the NCB custody till October 11, Additional Chief Metropolitan Magistrate R.M. Nirlikar said that considering the nature of the offence, a detailed investigation was necessary to go to the root of the case. The Anti-Drugs Agency has so far arrested 16 people, including Aryan Khan, after raiding the Goa-bound ship on Saturday. The court on Monday had remanded Aryan Khan and 7 other accused to the NCB custody till Thursday. The NCB had told the court that shocking and incriminating material recovered in WhatsApp chats of Aryan Khan and 2 others arrested in connection with the case showed international drug trafficking. The NCB had also claimed that in the WhatsApp chats, Aryan Khan is discussing modes of payment to be done for procurement of drugs and that several code names are being used. Aryan Khan's lawyer had claimed drugs were not recovered from the possession of his client. The NCB on Sunday said they had seized 13 grams of cocaine, 5 grams of MD, 21 grams of charas and 22 pills of ecstasy and Rs 1.33 lakh. The 6-hour outage at Facebook, Instagram and WhatsApp was a headache for many casual users, but far more serious for the millions of people worldwide who rely on the social media sites to run their businesses or communicate with relatives, fellow parents, teachers or neighbors. When all 3 services went dark on Monday, it was a stark reminder of the power and reach of Facebook, which owns the photo sharing and messaging apps. Around the world, the loss of WhatsApp left many at a loss. In Brazil, the messaging service is by far the most widely used app in the country, installed on 99% of all smartphones, according to tech pollster Mobile Time. WhatsApp has become essential in Brazil to communicate between friends and families, as well as for a variety of other tasks, such as ordering food. Offices, various services, and even the courts had trouble making appointments, and phone lines became overwhelmed. Hundreds of thousands of Haitians in their homeland and abroad fretted over the WhatsApp outage. Many of the country's more than 11 million people depend on it to alert one another about gang violence in particular neighborhoods or to talk to relatives in the U.S. about money transfers and other urgent matters. Haitian migrants traveling to the U.S. rely on it to find each other or share key information such as safe places to sleep. Nelzi Miriel, a 35-year-old unemployed woman who depends on money sent from relatives abroad, said she stopped at a repair shop in the capital of Port-au-Prince because she thought her phone was malfunctioning. "I was waiting on confirmation on a money transfer from my cousin," she said. "I was so frustrated." In rebel-held Syria, where the telecommunication infrastructure has been disrupted by war, residents and emergency workers rely mostly on internet communication. Nasir Al-Muhawish, a Turkey-based Syrian doctor who monitors pandemic cases in rebel-held territory in Syria, said WhatsApp is the main communication method used with over 500 workers in the field. "They switch to Skype, but WhatsApp works better when internet service is shaky," he said. If there had been an emergency such as shelling that he needed to warn field workers about, there could have been major problems, he said. "Luckily, this didn't happen yesterday during the outage," he said. In Lima, Peru, the breakdown complicated dental technician Mary Mejia's job, like most Peruvian medical workers, she uses WhatsApp for a multitude of tasks, including scheduling appointments and ordering crowns. Sometimes the doctor will be working on a patient and I need to contact a technician for a job, she said. To have to step away and make a phone call, it trips us up. We have become so accustomed to this tool. Millions of Africans use WhatsApp for all their voice calls, so people felt they were cut off from the world, said Mark Tinka, a Ugandan who heads engineering at Seacom, a South Africa-based internet service provider. Many Africans also use WhatsApp to connect with relatives in other countries. Facebook said the outage was due to an internal error related to a configuration change, but gave no details. The outage came amid crisis at Facebook, accused by a whistleblower on the program 60 Minutes and on Capitol Hill of profiting from hate and division and suppressing research showing that Instagram contributes to body image problems, eating disorders, and thoughts of suicide among young women. For small businesses, the outages meant hundreds or thousands of dollars in lost revenue. Sarah Murdoch runs a small Seattle-based travel company called Adventures with Sarah and relies on Facebook Live videos to promote her tours. She estimated the outage cost her thousands of dollars in bookings. I've tried other platforms because I'm wary of Facebook, but none of them are as powerful for the type of content I create, Murdoch said. Tarita Kanduff of Alberta, Canada, said she connects with other parents on Facebook just about every day and the outage drove home for her how crucial that support is. As a parent with special needs kids, it is the only space I found others in similar positions, she said. There's a lot of us that would be lost without it. But for others, the breakdown led them to conclude they need less Facebook in their lives. Anne Vidra said she realized she was spending too much free time scrolling and commenting on posts she disagreed with. She deleted the Facebook app on Tuesday. I didn't want it to come back, said Vidra, who lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and does voiceover work. She added, I realized how much of my time was wasted. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.